Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. The show, as I said, is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. We got through another week. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're having I think we're all having an eventful July 4th weekend under the circumstances, but hope you got to watch some good stuff this week. I know I did. And so I'll start out with what I've watched, and then we'll, of course, go to you, the lovely listeners on Facebook and Twitter. And by the way, I have to start with an apology. Sometimes you just have to correct things and make them right. So the big film to come out on video last week, I completely spaced it. And which was funny because an image from the film was my Facebook banner photo for quite a while. But Criterion had put out finally, not so finally, it came out last year, but Portrait of a Lady on Fire, a great film. It made my top 10. Yes, it was. And I thought it was even better than Parasite. Nothing against Parasite, but, an excellent drama and a fresh take on the subject of the artist and the artist's muse. And in this case, they're both ladies. So really lovely slow burn tension with a lovely payoff. So that is out on Criterion. So thank you, Criterion, for putting that out there. That was really, really strong. We'll get to some Carl Reiner stuff in a little bit. A big chunk of my week was going through the Godfather box set. So I should mention, for Father's Day, my daughter Emma, now 18, she and I made a spaghetti sauce almost from scratch. I mean, well, you know, we use canned tomatoes, but crushed them down and all that sort of thing. So we did that. And as a payoff for my father, for me, for Father's Day, we were going as a family to watch The Godfather. Because I have the Coppola restoration edition of all of the films, so I wanted to finally break into that, and we did, and my daughter fell asleep after the horse head scene. So another noble effort, but it was fun for me to revisit those films. One is great, two is even better, and three gets a bad rap. It's a good film. The problem is it follows two great films, and it's quite possibly the most operatic of the three films. And I've referred to Coppola's films as operatic. If you look at films like The Outsiders and Apocalypse Now, of heightened emotion and heightened acting at times, and three, which of course has a climax at an opening night of an opera, and I think the biggest body count an opera opening night has ever had. But the couple things that stand out that, of course, it gets grilled for, the biggest one is Sofia Coppola. She filled in at the last minute for Winona Ryder, who fell ill and couldn't do the film. So it's not her fault. They made fun of her California tone and her voice, but I think that works in this case because she is – of the legitimate business, but not of the outer business. I thought she was fine, but I thought she was grilled at Yoko levels. It really was not fair to her. But since then, she's become a fine director. So there is that. Andy Garcia, you got to remind yourself that he's great in that. We have Pacino at the beginning of his raspy voice phase of his career. It's, again, good, not great, but I think it gets skewered quite a bit, and I don't think it needs to. And then there was a fourth disc of special features. All the commentary tracks are from Coppola, and it seems like they're all similar things. He's on the verge of getting fired. He's clashing with somebody, the studio, of course, and fun anecdotes and stories along the way. So anyway, I got to revisit the Godfather saga, so I was happy about that. Last week, because of if you heard the end of the show, I paid tribute to a performer who had a very specific act that was performed in John Waters' film Pink Flamingos. So that was my midnight movie last week. Fun visiting that. And anytime I think of or watch John Waters' films, I have to give a shout out to my pals Chris and Lila. Thank you for introducing his work to me while we were in college together. Better late than never, I guess, when it comes to college age. So that was midnight. That was the midnight movie experience. Moving on a little bit here. The big film to come out on VOD and I guess in certain drive-ins, you have to look for it. But the French domestic drama The Truth opens courtesy of IFC. This is the first time that Juliette Binoche and Catherine Deneuve work together, and they play mother and daughter. This is from writer-director Hirokazu Koreeda, the man who gave us Shoplifters, among others. And it's a domestic drama. Deneuve plays one of the grand dames of the French cinema. She has just written a memoir about her life and her work. Her daughter, screenwriter, living in New York, played by Deneuve, and her actor husband, played by Ethan Hawke, come to visit with their young daughter. And this is the first time that they have visited mom in Paris since they got married. Binoche's character has not read her mother's book, and she starts taking post-its and pencils to it because of all the inaccuracies. But and the film and the memoir autobiography is called The Truth. And we get the gray area, lots of gray area, what is the truth and what isn't, the degrees of the it's one thing when your grandmother there's a lovely scene where the granddaughter approaches grandma and heard a rumor that her grandmother has special powers, had powers like a witch to turn people into animals or toads or slugs, and could she do that to a kid at school that was not nice to her? It's one thing to do that, but then Binoche's character is upset because mom has written in her book, published on a large scale, about the great life she had as a parent and how she loved picking her daughter up from school, even though she never did that. So with those two actors, these two ladies, and I was ready for anything. And there is a domestic squabble. There is a family squabble. But I was ready for a 15-round heavyweight boxing match. I was ready for something like August Osage County. It's more of a fencing match. It's a drama where the highs aren't too high and the lows aren't too low. This isn't a crucial it, – in a way it is, but it's not in a – it's not done in all caps. You have a major reconciliation done with minimal execution. So that in that case, it is fun to watch Binoche and Deneuve work together. Deneuve throws some serious shade throughout the film, almost like Jessica Walter would be proud, I guess, when it comes to that. Deneuve also gives me the biggest laugh in a film this year about actresses who have the same letter for their first and last name, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Binoche is up for anything. If you look through her filmography, she has run the gamut as far as a genre and challenges. Hawke's okay. He doesn't get to do a whole lot. He makes a life choice halfway through the film that's a little wonky. But I think for the most part, he's playing referee to his wife and his mother-in-law and making sure that the daughter doesn't hear a whole lot of this. But it's a fencing match with these two people. And also the fact that Binoche's character is she's in a sci-fi drama working with a hotshot director. She scoffs at sci-fi. You think like a bad version of Interstellar, a worse version of Interstellar. But her having the aging actress having to deal with young actresses picking at her brain. And there's also another aspect of The Truth is she starts to flub her lines Is she blaming it on the crew, or is she really starting to have trouble remembering her lines? And many artists go through this. Eventually, they know that things are not what they used to be. So anyway, it's a good drama. Look for the film, The Truth. It's out there. Okay, I also watched the documentary about the band, actually Robbie Robertson and the band, called Once We're Brothers. So I'm a fan of the band, and I would say if you're going to watch Once We're Brothers, you have to find Levon Helm's documentary about him, just to balance it out. And with the passing of Carl Reiner, I revisited Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I remember my dad and I seeing it in the theater when I was about 12. The clever concept of Steve Martin, it's a shot in black and white. It's done like a 40s private eye detective thriller. Steve Martin's the detective. Rachel Ward is the femme fatale. I've had swooning moments with Rachel Ward ever since Sharky's Machine. And then, of course, Carl Reiner shows up in the film as a German butler with outside plans. But the big gimmick in this, which was entertaining, we're seeing the film spliced with classic movie clips from films like White Heat, Notorious, if I remember right, and Suspicion. So you see Steve Martin and clips with James Cagney and Vincent Price and Kirk Douglas and Cary Grant. And it's a lot of fun, and it still holds up. And I think it's a fun homage to the detective genre. So, and we'll get to a little more Carl Reiner in a bit. And then my wife, got Disney Plus for the month of July. We haven't gotten to Hamilton yet. I know. I think it premiered at the time of this recording earlier this morning, but we decided to break it in because my daughter had not experienced 10 Things I Hate About You. She knows Taming of the Shrew. I remember showing her the Liz and Dick version of Taming of the Shrew at a young age, but she enjoyed it thoroughly, and especially Allison Janney, who that's the type of career Emma says she would like to have, like Allison Janney and Allison Brie. So it was fun to revisit that. It still holds up, even despite the hair and the fashion and the music, but it's a fun take on Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew. And I forgot that in the film, Heath Ledger serenades Julia Stiles to Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. So your three... If you know of another one, let me know. But the three versions of Can't Take My Eyes Off of You in cinema, I guess I'm doing a brief ranking. Take it. Number three, 10 Things I Hate About You. Number two, Fabulous Baker Boys. It should be number one because I love Michelle Pfeiffer. But anyway, and number one, The Deer Hunter. So that was another. There you got a small list because we're in a list-oriented society. And then yesterday, dipping into the Miyazaki box set, I had not seen this before, but Porco Rosso, set in 1930s Italy. We have a fighter pilot, a bounty hunter, who is cursed by living life as a pig. In the English language version, it's voiced by Michael Keaton. And what happens when he's on the run from rival pirates, as well as a rival pilot voiced by Cary Elwes. Brad Garrett is also one of the voices in this. And it's a fun adventure story with a little bit of politics and a little bit of the battle of the sexes between Keaton's character, who's burnt out. And the film came out in 1992. A burnt out seaplane pilot who is teamed up with a young, plucky female engineer. And of course, they don't like each other. And well, you can figure out what happens after that. So and great visuals of the flying sequences, as well as the battles, the plane battles. So good stuff over there. Just a reminder that the Indie Shorts International Film Festival moves to drive-in and virtual format, running July 21st through the 26th at the Tibbs Drive-In and at your home. And you can get tickets at indieshorts.org. This is a part of the Indie Shorts International Film Festival presented by Heartland Film. 18 programs, 128 shorts, and an Academy Award qualifying event. So, and I'm going to hopefully talk to somebody about this when it gets a little closer. So just mark your calendars, indieshorts.org, for the Indie Shorts International Film Festival. At the Tibbs Drive-In, On screen one, we have Relic and then Becky. Screen two, live-action Jungle Book, My Spy. Screen three, Bad Boys for Life and Deadpool. Screen four, The Goonies and Gremlins. All of that at the Tibbs Drive-In. At the Skyline in Shelbyville this weekend, you have Back to the Future, The Burbs. I don't think I've watched that from start to finish since it opened when I was in college. I might need to revisit that. And so they're saying Back to the Future at 9:30, The Burbs at 11:30. And if you're in for a triple feature late at night at 1:45 a.m., Brian De Palma's 1983 version of Scarface. You're going to be up till 5 a.m. So that's you get your money's worth over at the Skyline Drive-In over there. So check that out. I want to talk a little bit more about Carl Reiner, who passed away earlier this week, and a lovely tribute on Channel 6 by my buddy Ray Steele, and obviously probably well actually a balance because his work in television, with everything from the Dick Van Dyke Show and Your Show of Shows, the stand-up that he did with Mel Brooks, A 2,000-Year-Old Man. Actually, my wife and I watched some of those clips last night. And, of course, his jump into movies, which is why we do here on the film show. I had forgotten his fun take in The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming. But going back to 1967, he did the film version of Enter Laughing, the comic, which is a rare drama from Dick Van Dyke, which I need to revisit. Where's Papa? Oh, God. The One and Only, the wrestling film with Henry Winkler. The Jerk. There was also, that four-film stretch with Steve Martin. The Jerk. Dead Man Don't Wear Plaid, The Man with Two Brains, and All of Me. And I need to revisit Two Brains because it's been a while. And All of Me, I always remember Siskel and Ebert raving about All of Me. I believe it made both their top 10, and they also made the argument Steve Martin should have been nominated for Best Actor, and the fact that comic performances aren't always honored, especially in the major categories. But that's not a bad stretch of films right there from Martin and Reiner. Summer Rental in 85, Summer School in 87, which has a special place in my heart. My buddy Quenin, she knows why. She said I reminded her of Chainsaw, and she reminded me of Anna Maria. I was hoping to show Emma that because I figured she would like to look at mid-80s Mark Harmon. But I'm hoping to revisit that very soon. Then you got Burt Rigby, You're a Fool, Sibling Rivalry, Fatal Instinct, and That Old Feeling. So salute to Carl Reiner. And the fact that he was posting about the president and was wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt right the week up to the week he died and spent way more time with Mel Brooks than anybody on the planet. And that's cool as hell. So thank you, Carl. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. We're going to get to what you've watched. So we're going to start with my friend Eric, who sends me an email. First time viewing for him, the most recent version of The Invisible Man, which he listed as nerve-wracking sci-fi horror, and with the brilliant Elizabeth Moss. Fine performance from her. Tiger Bay from 1959 with Haley Mills. He dubbed that well done. His favorite film at age 12, 1933's King Kong. So way to go there. Nice list. Very good. I want to get to, I mentioned last week about Johnny Iguana, the fine Chicago musician who sent me, I can't remember how far back it goes, but it's huge. But I was told I could cherry pick a little bit here. So grab a pencil. Here we go. If you haven't already, from Eric's list, he breaks them down into genres like film noir, biopic, war history. When was the last time you saw or check out Kiss Me Deadly, Rafifi, The Naked City, The Big Heat, The Killing, Chinatown, Laura, In a Lonely Place, The Killers, Out of the Past? Jumping into drama, biopic, war history, Inside Llewyn Davis, Lost in Translation, Z, Dead Man, Network, The Pawnbroker. We went on a Kubrick and Lemaitre thing. Dog Day Afternoon, Network, I mentioned. Barry Lyndon, Paths of Glory. Atlantic City. Johnny, I mentioned that before. I hope Criterion does a treatment of Atlantic City. It deserves it. All About Eve, Battle of Algiers, the Devils, the Ken Russell film, wow. Raging Bull, Action Adventure. He has Escape from New York, The Wages of Fear, The Fugitive, and The Train. That's not bad right there. Crime drama, thriller, suspense, mystery, / ghost. Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, Diabolique, Fargo, Barton Fink, Miller's Crossing, No Country for Old Men, Blood Simple, see where we're going there, Manchurian Candidate, Frenzy, The Birds, Psycho, North by Northwest, Vertigo, Rear Window, lots of Hitchcock there, Infernal Affairs, Once Upon a Time in America, Mikey and Nikki, Parallax View, Taxi Driver, Mean Streets, Goodfellas, Picnic at Hanging Rock, Wait Until Dark, nice there. Sci-fi adventure, They Live, 12 Monkeys, 2001. Documentary and quasi-documentary, Brother's Keeper, Anita O'Day, The Life of a Jazz Singer, I Call Him Morgan, Times of Harvey Milk, Grizzly Man, Capturing the Freedmans, Air Guitar Nation, Roger and Me, my hometown, The Thin Blue Line, Tabloid, Sorrow and the Pity, for you Annie Hall fans out there, American Movie, F for Fake, that's for you Robert Neal, Horror / Monster / Horror Comedy / B Chiller, High Tension, Aliens, The Strangers, The Skin I Live In, Let the Right One In, Phantasm, The Original Black Christmas, Halloween, The Fly, Dead Ringers, Sisters, The Witch, Funny Games, The Original Wicker Man, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Shining, Blair Witch Project, Repulsion, Fearless Vampire Killers, The Original Alien, The Original Vanishing, Comedy / Dark Comedy, Annie Hall, Manhattan, Crimes and Misdemeanors, Manhattan Murder Mystery, The Royal Tenenbaums, Grand Budapest Hotel, Raising Arizona, War of the Roses, My Cousin Vinny, Coffee and Cigarettes, Whitnail and I, After Hours, King of Comedy. In the Western, McCabe and Mrs. Miller, The Searchers, Stagecoach, The Quiet Man, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Once Upon a Time in the West, and The Oxbow Incident, which I revisited at the beginning of this whole pandemic. Japanese horror / ghost story / thriller, Dark Water, Ringu, Perfect Blue, Japanese drama, The Eel, Spring, Summer, Fall, Winter, and Spring, High and Low, Throne of Blood, Yojimbo, The Hidden Fortress, Rashomon, The Bad Sleep Well, see where we're going, Akuru, Floating Weeds, Early Summer, Japanese comedy, Tempopo, Chinese drama / comedy, Shower, French, A Man Escaped, Diary of a Country Priest, Children of Paradise, Playtime, 400 Blows, Jules and Jim, Shoot the Piano Player, Finnish, Ariel, Swedish, Songs from the Second Floor, My Life is a Dog, Italian, Umberto D, Garden of Fitzcantinis, Bicycle Thieves, 8 1/2, Night at Cabrera, La Strada, Armacord, Spanish / Mexican, The Exterminating Angel, Diary of a Chambermaid, Belle de Jour, Tristana, The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeois, Devil's Backbone, Spirit of the Beehive. German, A Gear Wrath of God, The Enigma of Caspar Hauer, and Strosik. Werner Herzog says thank you. Canadian, Monocle Antoine, My Winnipeg. And finally, Czech, The Cremator from 1969. I believe this is to be a big influence on There Will Be Blood. So there's a partial list of Johnny Iguana, a fine piano player and a band leader. Look for the Claudettes. You can check out the Claudettes website for their music. It's a lovely mixture of cabaret and rock and R&B and soul. It's a good mix. It's a very good mix. So check out that. Thank you, Johnny. Heading over to Twitter. Let's see. Starting with Helen writes, Veronica Franz and Sarah Van Fiala's The Lodge and Nadia Hallgren's Becoming. Lisa writes, Lisa Trifone, who's been on the show, reviewing Good Trouble this week, the documentary on Representative John Lewis. Sorry. Whew. And finally, watch the Pennebaker Company doc on Criterion Channel. And Do the Right Thing for the First Time. Very good. Very good, Lisa. Josh writes, revisited Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. What a ride. Phil writes, once we're brothers, Robert Robertson in the band, and Daniel Rohr as the director. Yes. Emily writes, Tongues United, Eurovision Song Contest, Killer of Sheep, Crooklyn, and the millionth rewatch of Portrait of a Lady on Fire, but had to check out the Criterion release. She has not gotten the special features yet. I'm hoping to get a report from her about that. Jeff writes, expected Eurovision Song Contest to be awful, but it was actually okay. Thank you, Jeff. Creighton writes, I watched Kiyoshi Kurosawa's Cure, amazing, for the first time, and Friday the 13th Part 6 for about the 30th time. I'm about to watch Kelly Reichardt's first cow to review for Midwest Film Journal. Always a thrill when she has a new film out. Janet writes, I finally watched Judy and loved it. I also rewatched Rocket Man, Kingsman the Secret Service, and Batman Begins. Brian writes, Eurovision Song Contest on Netflix. The songs are stuck in my head. I just got The Greatest Showman out of there. That happens, Brian. That sometimes happens. Okay, going from Twitter over to Facebook, you're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Now to Facebook. Judy writes, Super 8. That Judy, that is one that's been on my, it's on my pile of Blu-rays I need to get through. Evan has his list. Here we go. The Rental, Jasper Maul, Star Wars The Force Awakens, Eurovision Song Contest, Princess Mononoke, Return of the Jedi, Cat People, that's the Paul Schrader version, The Cat in a Hat, ooh, and A Talking Cat. Oh, with Eric Roberts. Nice stuff there, Evan Dossey. Thank you. Kate writes Border. Catherine writes 1776. We're hoping to get to that this weekend, Catherine. That's a tradition here at the Soci household. I also try to get Yankee Doodle Dandy in whenever possible. Brian writes Ford versus Ferrari, the 2019 version of Charlie's Angels, The Blues Brothers, and The Intruder. Jed Bryan, who's been on this show, I watch Gettysburg since this week is the 157th anniversary. I also watch Clownado and The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad with my son on Disney Plus. Thank you, Jed. Michael writes The Five Bloods. Rebecca writes An Evening with Beverly Lough Lynn, now on Netflix. Jamie writes, I will be watching Hamilton tomorrow. Does that count? Despite them taking the F-bombs out and making it PG-13, whatever. Anyway, sure, Jamie, it counts. Cole writes, Parasite. Joe Shearer, who's been on both ends of the spectrum here at Film Sociology as host and substitute host and guest. Hands of the Ripper, Infamous, Stage Fright Aquarius, Cutthroat City, He Knows You're Alone, Halloween 2, Goosebumps 2, Driller Killer, wow. Wheels of Fire, Turkey Shoot, Blood Games, Man Killers, Fear City, Street Walkin', From Beyond, McBain, and Cut and Run. Man, good list there. David writes Fifth Element yet again. Linda writes, God help me, Spaceballs. I just needed Stupid. Linda, there's nothing wrong with that. Bonnie writes My Spy. Linda also writes Fire Saga, sorry. Abby writes Clueless and Cape Fear, the original or the remake, and in that order. Dave writes Ford versus Ferrari. It was highly entertaining. Brian Hartz writes, I believe you saw that Monica introduced me to Urban Cowboy. Observations. It's Saturday Night Fever, but Texas. Jersey boy John Travolta does a surprisingly good Texas accent. And he said, I cannot hear the song Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places without thinking of Eddie Murphy singing it as Buckwheat. And I know Monica also liked young Scott Glenn. And some of us liked early Deborah Winger. Monica chimed in, apparently Patrick Swayze's mom did the choreography. I didn't know about Patsy Swayze's career until this week. Congratulations. Jeff writes The Vanishing of Sydney Hall. Matt writes The Game. Maria writes Caddyshack and Be Cool. Maria writes my two favorite scenes from Be Cool. When they dance, of course, the reunion dance of Uma Thurman and John Travolta, and when The Rock tries on the powder blue leisure suit. Claire writes Twister. I had never seen it. There was literally no other plot than them chasing four tornadoes in a row. That's right, Claire. Lou Harry writes, Jerry Springer, the opera, bailed at intermission on The Grinning Man and took another look at the TV movie version of Bye Bye Birdie, the one without Anne Margaret. Nick writes, Fantasia, Fantasia 2000, Tomorrow Never Dies, and Desperados, which premieres tomorrow on, or it premieres on Netflix. Joshua writes, 7500, Just Mercy, and Inside Man. Always good for a rewatch now and then. JD writes, Creep and Creep 2. JJ writes, Skyladder, Edge of Tomorrow, Stuber, Handsome, Anatomy of a Murder, and Red Sun. Mark writes, Believe it or not, I'm just getting into Breaking Bad on Netflix, into season 2 at this point. Gregory writes, To Catch a Thief, Batman Begins, Ferrari, Race to Immortality, Aquaman, and Man of Steel. Tom writes, Sweet and Low Down, the Woody Allen masterpiece. I don't know if it's a masterpiece, but it's darn good. Great performance by Sean Penn and Samantha Morton. Sharon writes, The Mule and My Spy. Highly recommend both. And I respond, anytime somebody brings up Clint Eastwood's film, The Mule, I also refer to it as Two Threesomes for Clint. Michael writes, Thoroughly Modern Millie, with Lou Harry chiming in. That's one bat spit crazy movie. Michael chiming in, I hadn't seen it in 20 years. Julie, Mary, and Carol, love it. He didn't say spit. Christy writes, Jasmine and I just watched I Still Believe on Hulu. It was pretty good. Kara writes, Just Mercy, very good film. Jay writes, We watched My Spy, cute film, funny. Always funny watching the big muscle-bound guys try to be good with kids. Yep. Chris writes, Last Black Man in San Francisco, highly recommended. Devin writes, Double Teamed and Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius. Jared writes, The Love Bug, Aladdin, the remake, and Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Amy writes, Aliens. Eric writes, The Witch, or The Vitch with two V's. Jimmy writes, The Rainmaker. All right, Missy. None. I have a job. I have a job too, Missy, reading your film picks. Joni writes, The SpongeBob Musical. Connor writes, Django Unchained. Megan writes, A Little Chaos. Edward writes, Thoroughly Modern Millie. You watched that with Michael, Ed. I know that. Nikki writes, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Loved it. Frank writes, I rewatched Rushmore and also saw Star Trek Beyond, as well as Artemis Hotel, which was pretty decent. Jared writes, Knives Out. Jackie writes, Dr. Sleep, Bombshell, and The Gentleman. Abby Terzini, hey, Abby. The Core and Heathers. Teresa writes, Legally Blonde and Caddyshack. Christian writes, Rocket Man and 20 Feet from Stardom. We're not into music at our house, not at all. I understand. Carrie writes, Mommy Dearest and Ugh. Yep. I know. I've brought it up to Emma as a midnight movie, but she I don't think is going to have it. Colleen writes, Atypical Wednesday. Benjamin writes, The Five Bloods, Spike Lee's new joint. Doug writes, The Art of Racing in the Rain, Blue Skies, Jazz on a Summer's Day, New Orleans, Young Man with a Horn, and starting Watchmen, I'm assuming the series. Beverly writes, To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. Kane writes, Infinity War, The Love Guru, the John Huston version of Annie, and Joker. Mary writes, The Uninvited, The Original Planet of the Apes, Misery, and Carrie. Cassie writes, Currently watching Terminal. Alex writes, Mandy, The Joker, and there's no the in Joker, it's just Joker. Mandy, Joker, and The Meg, again. Michael writes, Rewatch Jaws and Shawshank. Daniel writes, Eternally Yours, The Moonspinners, Disney's Hercules, Bessie, Whitney, I Married a Witch, the Adrian Brody biopic of Houdini, Day for Night, Snow White, The Country Girl, Confidentially Yours, Shadows in the Dark, The Three Caballeros, The Dane Curse, and Double Indemnity. Martin writes, The Mule. Michael writes, Loving Vincent. Darren writes, Kingsman, Golden Circle, Seven Voyage of Sinbad, and Earth versus the Flying Saucers. Julia writes, the incredibly timely The Devil and Miss Jones, the best movie I've watched in a while. Sadly, it's just left Criterion Channel, but it's on DVD and available to rent on Amazon Prime. Patricia writes, Woodstock. Michonne writes, Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga, twice, and listened to the soundtrack several times. Andrew writes, Lawrence of Arabia and Sicario. Alan writes, rewatch The Long Kiss Goodnight, so many levels of meaning, don't you think? Rachel writes, Jess Mercy and Detective D, The Four Heavenly Kings. Eric writes, Dr. Sleep. Kim writes, Irresistible. I was so excited to watch it, and I insisted on streaming it the first night it was available. Funny at times, most enjoyable, yet frustrating and even sad and discouraging at times. Adrian writes, Good hair. Amazing. Britt writes, Athlete A, Mississippi Burning, Book Club, Affinity, Skyfall, Spectre, Whoopi Goldberg presents Mom's Mabley, and Thor. Krista writes, this week we watched two movies we had seen before, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and Black Klansman. Both made me miss the big screen. The beautiful club scene and the horrible footage of Charlottesville and Black Klansman were just not as immersive on my pretty big TV at home. Rosanna writes, Wings of Desire, Mostly Martha, Padre Pio, Frida, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, and The Man Who Knew Infinite. Cameron writes, Jaws and Highwaymen. Stephen writes, Parting Glances and The Fearless Vampire Killers, but not in the same night, he assured me. Jesse writes, They Say I'm Different, Cabaret, and Hook. Michael writes, The Half of It. The stage version of this one was supposed to be, Holding the Man Down, or Holding the Man, I should say, sorry. Stage version of this one was supposed to be Out Loud Theater's fourth production. Sorry, Michael. Mike writes, Antonio Das Mortes and Evita. Ed writes, The Gentleman, and for the second time, The International. David writes, An Awkward Sexual Adventure, and Rambo Last Blood. Way to go, David. Lindsay writes, Blow the Man Down was excellent. Dave writes, Knives Out. The family liked it bunches. James writes, King of Staten Island and Irresistible. Diana writes, To the Bone, Ford versus Ferrari, The Land of Steady Habits, and Ready or Not. Joe writes, Robert the Bruce and Ford versus Ferrari. Gary writes, Unleashed and Jobs. Scott writes, North by Northwest. Ian writes, I just watched Little Women, last year's version, and it was lovely, all caps on lovely. Michelle writes, The Danish Girl. And finally, Andrea writes, not a film, but American Gods. How I didn't watch this sooner, I don't know. And A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, I cried through most of it. Thank you, gang. And there you go. So hopefully you've got some ideas to watch over the weekend. I hope you have a safe and healthy and sane July 4th weekend. Remember, try to watch something that you've never seen before. It might be new or new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. So, friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. We're going to end this week's show with a musical tribute to songwriter Johnny Mandel, who passed away at the age of 94. Obviously, we know him for MASH, among other things, but some of the films you should know that he did music for, The Americanization of Emily, The Sandpiper, you know, Harper, The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming, there, crossover with Carl Reiner, Point Blank, That Cold Day in the Park, Heaven with a Gun, MASH, which we'll get to, Johnny Through Rosebud, Molly and Lawless John, Summer Wishes, Winter Dreams, The Last Detail, W, Escape from Witch Mountain, The Sailor Who Fell from Grace with the Sea, Freaky Friday, those were back-to-back, Agatha, Being There, The Baltimore Bullet, Caddyshack, Death Trap, Looking to Get Out, The Verdict, Brenda Starr was his last feature film where he did music in 1989. So, but we're going to end with the song Suicide is Painless, originally from the 1970 film of MASH, later used as the main theme, but this is with lyrics. So anyway, stay healthy, stay safe, stay sane, be good to one another. We'll get through this. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
Through early morning fog I see visions of the things to be, the pains that are withheld for me. I realize and I can see that suicide is painless. It brings on many changes, and I can take or leave it if I please. The game of life is hard to play. I'm gonna lose it anyway. The losing card I'll someday lay. So this is all I have to say. Suicide is painless.
Suicide.
It brings on many changes.
Changes.
And I can take if I please.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!